following podcast is brought to you by the Communications and Media Studies Department of Dominican University of California. I'm your host, DJ Stick, and this is the Bam Dunk Podcast, where we'll recap the latest news across the sport. Welcome back to the Bam Dunk Podcast. Today is Monday, the 6th of April, and we have a lot to talk about today. First, Michigan just won the national championship. The NFL draft is less than 3 weeks away, and the buzz is getting loud. Around the rest of the sports world, the Masters is underway, the NBA playoffs are a week away, and the Champions League is heating up in Europe. We are covering it all today in three tight segments. Let's get right into it. All right, let's start with the NFL, because the draft is now less than 3 weeks away, and things are moving fast. Round one is April 23rd in Pittsburgh, and the storylines are stacking up by the day. Let's start with the biggest news of the week. Kirk Cousins has agreed to sign with Las Vegas Raiders. Now, on the surface, that might not sound like an earth-shattering news, but here's why it matters. The Raiders hold the first overall pick in the draft, and the universal expectation has been that they'd take Indiana quarterback Fernando Mendoza with that pick. Kirk Cousins coming in as a veteran bridge quarterback actually confirms that plan. You don't sign a veteran quarterback to come in and start long-term. You sign him to mentor a rookie and help him get comfortable with the pro game. So as ESPN's Field Yates put in this week, Mendoza might as well start shopping for a home in Las Vegas. That pick feels essentially locked in. The Raiders are building for the future. Cousins steadies the ship in the short term, and Mendoza develops behind him. It's a smart play. Now, over on the other side of the country, the New York Jets hold the second overall pick, and they are reportedly leaning toward taking linebacker Arvell Reese out of Ohio State. That's a bit of a surprise to a lot of analysts who expected the Jets to also take a quarterback, but New York has Geno Smith in the building after trading for him this offseason, so they may feel comfortable addressing other needs. The Jets were 31st in the league in sacks last season, so adding a disruptive edge presence makes sense. This one could still move around before draft night, but right now, that's the direction they're leading. Speaking of quarterbacks, the rest of the QB class is getting sorted out. Behind Mendoza, analysts are breaking down guys like Ty Simpson and Garrett Nussmeier out of LSU as potentially round one or early day two picks. And cornerback D'Angelo Pons turned heads this week at Indiana Pro Day, running a 4.31 in the 40 and putting up a 43.5-inch vertical. He's undersized at 5'9", but that athleticism is off the charts, and he's now firmly in the first-round conversation. On the team side, the Chicago Bears are making headlines off the field this week. Bears ownership confirmed that the stadium decision, the debate about whether to renovate Soldier Field or build a new lakefront stadium, will come in the, quote, late spring, early summer timeframe. Commissioner Roger Goodell confirmed the league is paying close attention to that situation. Meanwhile, the Bears have two second-round picks in this draft, and head coach Ben Johnson is expected to use them aggressively on the defensive side of the ball. A couple other quick notes from around the league. Lamar Jackson showed up for Baltimore Ravens voluntary workouts this week, which is always a good sign for team chemistry this early in the offseason. Ravens fans will remember Lamar missing some voluntary sessions in previous years, so this is being received as a positive. And in Baltimore, there's growing buzz about bringing back pass rusher Jadeveon Clowney, who's apparently interested in returning, and Lamar Jackson is reportedly on the board with that idea. And finally, the Atlanta Falcons unveil brand new primary uniforms this week. I'll let you look those up for yourself and form your own opinion, but the internet has thoughts. Always a fun draft season tradition when teams shake up and look right around before new players are coming in. Draft night, April 23rd, Pittsburgh. Circle it. It's going to be a big one. Okay, last night, Lucas Oil Stadium, Indianapolis, Michigan versus UConn for the national championship. And if you were watching, what a game. What an absolutely gritty, physical, hard-fought basketball game. Michigan wins it 69-63. The Wolverines are national champions for the first time since 1989. Let that sink in. 37 years since Michigan last cut down those nets. And they did it in style, finishing the season at 37-3 after one of the most dominant tournament runs in recent memory. Let's get the scene. Going into last night, Michigan had scored at least 90 points in each of their first five tournament games. The first team in history to do that. So the big question was whether UConn's defense could hold them under that number. The answer was yes, and then some. Michigan shot just 2 for 15 from three-point range. It was not a pretty offensive night by any stretch. But here's the thing. It didn't matter. Because Michigan did what Michigan has done all tournament. They controlled the paint, they defended, and they made their free throws. The Wolverines shot an incredible 25 of 28 from the line. That's not a misprint. 25 of 28. In a 7-point game, that is everything. Elliot Cadeau was the story of the night for Michigan. The point guard, who was named the Final Four's most outstanding player, led all scorers with 19 points. He was composed, he was efficient, and when Michigan needed a bucket or a big free throw down the stretch, Cadeau delivered every single time. His head coach, Dusty May, who, by the way, was named the USBWA National Coach of the Year, said after the game, "This team just found a way all season. They have a love, trust, and respect amongst themselves. That's exactly what you saw last night." Yaxel Lindenborg, the Big Ten Player of the Year, was a factor too. Despite playing through an ankle injury, he picked it up in the semifinal win over Arizona. He battled. He tipped in a key basket late in the game and in a really moving momentum after the buzzer. He embraced his mother courtside. Lindenborg had said publicly that he drew inspiration this season from his mom, who is currently fighting cancer. That moment was genuinely one of the most emotional things you'll see in sports this year. Now, let's talk UConn, because they absolutely deserve credit. Dan Hurley and his team in the national title game for the third time in 4 years. That is extraordinarily coaching. UConn came in trying to do something that hadn't been done since John Wooden's UCLA team in the 1970s. Win 3 national championships in 4 years. They fell just short. Alex Caraban led them with 17 points and hit 3 threes. And there were a couple of moments in the final minutes where it looked like UConn might be mounting a comeback. Terrace Reed made a steal and got it to solo ball for a layup that cut it to 4 with 37 seconds left. But Michigan held on. Dan Hurley was gracious afterward. He said Michigan deserved to win. That they were the better team on that night, and that's exactly right. Michigan earned this. And it's worth noting that broader significance of what happened last night. This was the Big Ten's first men's basketball national championship since Michigan State won it in 2000. 26 years. In a conference that has produced so many great players and coaches, that title has been elusive for a long time. Michigan finally delivered on it. Coach Dusty May cuts down the nets. Elliot Cadeau is hosting the trophy, and somewhere the 1989 Michigan team is watching, knowing their wait for company at the top is finally over. Go Blue. All right, let's take a lap around the rest of the sports world, because there's genuinely a lot going on right now. We'll start in the NBA, because the regular season ends next Sunday and the playoff picture is almost sorted out. Here's where things stand as of today. The Detroit Pistons have clinched the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, their first top seed since 2007. And get this, they did it without Cade Cunningham, who was diagnosed with a collapsed lung back on March 19th. A collapsed lung. The man's franchise player goes down with a collapsed lung and they still win the East. Coach J.B. Bickerstaff said it the best. "We are the definition of the word team. The Pistons finished 57-21. And they will be the team everyone has to go through in the East, assuming Cunningham gets healthy. And the hope is he returns for the playoffs. They are genuinely scary." Now over in the West, the Oklahoma City Thunder are holding on to the top seed over the San Antonio Spurs, which is a sentence that tells you everything about how much the league has changed in the last 2 years. OKC with SGA at the top of the West, the Spurs, led by Victor Wembanyama, as the 2 seed. Meanwhile, the Lakers, Nuggets, Rockets are all jockeying for seeds 3 through 5. The play-in tournament tips off April 14th, and the actual playoffs begin April 18th. The NBA Finals are scheduled for June 3rd. Quick note, Candace Parker and Elena Del Don were announced as members of the Basketball Hall of Fame Class of 2026 this week. Two all-time greats getting their flowers, well-deserved for both. Now, the Masters is happening right now. The 90th Masters Tournament teed off today at Augusta National, and the golf world is locked in. Scottie Scheffler is the betting favorite. He's the number one player in the world and has been the most consistent golfer on the planet over the last 2 years. John Rahm is right there within odds, and Rory McIlroy, who finally won his Masters last year to complete the career Grand Slam, will be defending his green jacket this week. There's an early report today about Rory having an awkward moment at the Champions Dinner, which is a little tradition where the defending champion hosts the other past winners. Even with the pressure of defending, Rory just seems to be enjoying the whole experience. Four rounds of golf at Augusta, there's nothing like it. Over in soccer, the UEFA Champions League quarterfinal kicks off today across Europe, with the second legs to follow next week. These are the games that truly separate the elite clubs from everyone else. And the bracket this year absolutely stacked. Keep an eye on those results as they come in tonight and tomorrow. And a couple of quick notes from the world stage. U.S. international Patrick Agaimang suffered a serious Achilles tendon injury this week and reportedly missed the 2026 FIFA World Cup, which is being hosted right here in the United States, Canada, and Mexico. That is an absolute devastating blow for a player and a team. The World Cup is in his home country, and he's going to miss it. Heartbreaking. And finally, Aaron Ramsey, the former Wales and Arsenal midfielder, announced his retirement from soccer this week. Ramsey spent decades as one of the most elegant midfielders in the Premier League, and his legacy, particularly the FA Cup final goal and his time at Arsenal, will be remembered for a very long time. A proper career. Enjoy the retirement, Aaron. That's it for your Bam Dunk podcast on Monday, April 6, 2026. Michigan is your national champion. The NFL draft is 16 days away. The Masters is underway at Augusta. What a week to be a sports fan. We'll be back. Until next time, stay in the game.